Hey, coming up on This Week in Radio Check, we're live in Manhattan at Rattle and Hum. It's really happening. Chris Tobin is with us. Andrew Zarian's with us as well. And Dick DiBartolo joins us this week on TWRT.
This Week in Radio Tech is brought to you by Broadcasters General Store, with outstanding service, saving, and support, online at bgs.cc. By the new Ruby console from Lavo. See Lavo in your future at lavo.com/twrt. And by the Telos Alliance, shaping the future of audio, inspiring you to create the most exciting and engaging audio experiences imaginable. Visit telosalliance.com/opt-in.
Hey friends, welcome into This Week in Radio Tech. It's the show where we talk about everything from the microphone to the light bulb at the top of the tower every week here on the GFQ Network. I'm Kirk Harnack, and no, we're not in our usual studio this week. I'm not in Nashville. I'm in the Big Apple, New York City, and delighted to be here for the AES Convention, AB Fall Convention. Here in New York City, being held at the Jacob Javits Center. So we're at Rattle and Hum. This is the same place we did the show from last year and had such a great time. And so here with me, my usual co-host, come in here, Chris. Chris Tobin from WBGO. What do you have
what
there?
Is that? What is that?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, we're in New York.
It's an eclair.
It's an eclair.
Is that a proper eclair?
Oh, it's proper.
It is a proper
eclair. It's gift wrapped. It must be.
Okay. With a knife, we can chop it up.
Where'd you get that?
The Eclair Bakery.
I thought it was a USB drive.
Well, you know, in some other places it could be.
So from left to right on your radio dial, Chris Tobin is with us, our usual co-host. Usually he's in some unknown studio in Newark, or who knows where, or a rooftop somewhere. Right? I'm usually in Nashville, but I'm glad to be here. Look who's behind us. It's Andrew Zarian.
I showed up.
The founder of the GFQ Network is
I'm
here.
I'm doing something with GFQ for once.
Yes.
It's been many years.
About time you work.
About time.
That's right.
I'm going to be unemployed with one job, so I might as well go back to my other.
And for the first half of our show, at least for 20 minutes or so, Dick DiBartolo, Mad Magazine's maddest, what?
He's here.
He's here.
More than 50 years.
Also known as the Gizwiz.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're going to bring us some gizmos.
I do. Should I show you now?
Well, no. We're going to tease that.
We're going to tease it.
Yes. So, in fact, let's tease the audience. What's coming up after the
I'm going to show you two old gizmos that you'll know instantly what they are, but I'm going to ask you if you know the history of either one of them.
Oh.
Or where they might have come from, or who sold them.
All right. I can't wait. Chris and I have not seen these.
Nope.
Don't show them to us. We'll figure it out. We're going to hear from our first sponsor right now, the Infinity IP Intercom, and we'll be right back with more of TWRT.
Hi, I'm Martin Deister, Vice President of Business Development and Product Director for Telos Infinity IP Intercom System. Telos Infinity is different to any other intercom system because it's the first IP intercom system that doesn't have a matrix. Great communication within the broadcast environment is essential to TV and radio production. With Telos Infinity, you can link all your production crew, whether it's the director in the production control room, sound guy in the booth, boom operator on the floor, your anchors in the studio, presenters out in the field, weatherman, even your weatherman. Production staff listening to communications audio are hearing crystal clear sounds. It means the nuances of the people communicating with them can be heard all the time. Everything is crystal clear and accurate. The master intercom panels that we've created include multicolor LCD switches. You can use color coding to group IFBs, to group production crew members, your remotes, anybody else. Matrix-free intercom means low cost of entry, low cost of design, low cost of installation from the get-go. With Telos Infinity, you start saving money the moment you install it, and you continue to save money for the life of the product. The same benefits that broadcasters all around the world have found by using audio over IP now apply to intercom for the very first time. Never before have you been able to communicate using program quality audio simply by connecting two devices into a network switch. It truly is plug and play. Programming an intercom system has never been easier than it is with Telos Infinity. With our advanced dashboard programming utility, you can have your intercom system out of the box and up and running in record time. I'm Martin Deister, inviting you to visit telosalliance.com to learn more about Telos Infinity Broadcast Optimized Intercom System, the first matrix-free IP intercom system optimized for broadcast.
Thanks a lot to the Telos Alliance for sponsoring this week in Radio Tech. And that IP intercom, oh my goodness. I was at our booth at NAB here at the Javits Center, and people were coming by one after another asking about IP intercom. So check it out at telosalliance.com. All right. This week in Radio Tech's got Dick DiBartolo here. And Dick, I know you've got some limited time, so why don't we jump into the gizmos?
Okay. So I have two gizmos. You know, on the GizWiz, every episode ends with Dick's Gadget Warehouse because I spend $425 a month storing crap in a warehouse. old stuff. And so I went to the warehouse on your behalf, and I found two gadgets. This is the more interesting of the one. So it's a cassette player.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
What's that? Anything about this?
Wait a minute. I don't have a pencil.
How are you going to rewind?
That's an essential accessory.
Yeah, that is. You're absolutely right. You know what? Do you remember this at all?
Well, is this a Walkman?
This is the very first Walkman ever made.
Oh, wow.
It was $229.
Wow. Holy, what, in 1977 dollars?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's made out of metal.
This would be $600 today.
Yeah. Look at, back then, they figured that stereo cassettes aren't balanced. Separate volume controls.
Let's show that. Okay, separate left and right volume controls there. Wow.
Now,
holy
on the top,
cow. Yeah,
there's a microphone button. Now, what do you think the microphone button was for?
I don't know. It says hotline.
It says hotline.
Hotline.
Okay, this has two headphone jacks. So if you both are wearing headphones and someone comes over to ask you a question, you're supposed to hold this up to them. Press the mic button.
Yeah.
And you can hear them talking to both of you through the headphones.
Assuming your headphones had enough isolation where you couldn't hear them.
Yeah. Wow.
Exactly.
Now, how many iPhones would this be? How much would it be worth in iPhones?
So that's pretty amazing.
That is pretty
the
cool.
The original.
Made out of. I bought it at a place called 47th Street Photo. I think they're.
Yeah.
Right.
I know. Yeah, yeah.
So wait, still in business?
I don't think they're on 42nd Street anymore.
Let's see. I think you pop it out. There you go.
Okay. Oh, you push a button to pop it out. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, kids, this is a cassette. and actually, I have grandkids. Your granddad used to listen to these.
Yeah. Yes. And that was a cassette player.
Wow. But that was a tiny cassette player. Most of them were much bigger.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was sitting next to a guy on an airplane, and I said, "What in the world is that?" He said, "Here, listen." And I said, I have to have this. I have to have this. And he said, "Well, I'm a pilot, and I'm just deadheading back from Japan." It took 6 months before it came into the city.
Design-wise, this is – I mean, by 2018 standards, this is a beautiful design.
Oh, it's incredible. All metal?
Yeah. It
came in a leather case.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ran on just a couple of AA batteries.
I can't imagine
they lasted all that long running the cassette motors, but they lasted long enough.
They lasted fairly long. They were very decent.
Now, this is not light, so would you go jogging with this?
Well, no, because back then they didn't even think about carry. I guess this is the first time you could really have portable entertainment with you now, in such a small package.
In that same area, you had cassette decks that were about, literally volume-wise, about six times bigger.
Yes.
And Craig. Remember Craig?
Oh, my, yes.
They made a lot of these things.
Yes. Do you know what Craig made that I have in the warehouse somewhere? I can't find it. Craig made the hotel room answering machine.
Oh,
mini answering machine, because hotels were notorious for losing your messages.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a great idea, so I bought that.
So you had play, fast forward, rewind, and stop it.
Right.
And then for some bizarre reason,
high, low, all the way in the back
for
the sound, if you want to emphasize the high notes of the long.
Oh, okay, okay.
Okay.
So I think that's amazing, that hotline button.
Pretty amazing.
That is, yeah.
Now, these guys, this is from a company that you may not even know the name Lafayette.
Sure.
Okay.
We had Lafayette Electronics stores.
Okay.
Yeah.
These were high-end Lafayette headphones. And I wanted to find out what year it was. So I found this from the Washington Post. Let me see the year. Do I have it here? Oh,
my
yeah.
Goodness.
The Washington Post said, a miniature woofer and tweeter.
Well, there they are. Oh,
there they are.
Oh, there's a woofer and a tweeter.
Exactly. one in each ear of Lafayette's model F880, weighed 8 ounces, priced at $45. The it spans the range nicely from 50 hertz to 1500 hertz.
Okay. 50 kilohertz, yeah. So this delivered the high frequencies directly to your earlobe.
Yes, yes, that's exactly right. Well, that's how you did the bass and the treble. You just put it up or down if you want them over your ear. Or, right.
You tighten them up if you want more highs, and you loosen them if you want more lows.
So I went to the little currency converter. This came out in 1980.
Yeah.
So $45 in 1980 is about $150.
$150 Lafayette
radio.
Yeah. Wow. So a lot of small towns had Lafayette electronics.
Oh, you know,
stores.
I thought it was only a New York thing. You used to go there and nothing was on display. You went in with the catalog. You said, you have 9993-71.
That's
right. I'll be right back.
Wow.
And you were hoping he would come back with a box in his hand, meaning that they had it.
You know, Dick, I'm glad you brought it. I want to say I almost remember these. Like when I was a kid.
I thought, well, when I bought these, I thought, how cool am I? How techy am I with a separate woofer and tweeter?
yeah. Not just a single driver, but wow. And now they put separate drivers in earbuds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do that, but somehow they do.
It is unbelievable.
Some earbuds have three drivers. For bass, mid range, and highs.
Oh my!
And they're so T90, just tiny things.
Yeah, the technology is just knockout amazing.
So Dick, we introduced you earlier as being a Mad Magazine's maddest writer.
Maddest writer, right?
But you've done a lot of other things besides Mad Magazine.
God, you know, for 18 years I worked for Goodson Todman doing game shows.
Yeah.
So I worked a long, long, long time writing the Match Game. actually, they hired me to write the Match Game, and 10 months in, Match Game got canceled. Goodson called me and said, the show's canceled. He said, but you have 2 months of shows, but I'm just giving you a heads up.
Yeah.
So over the weekend, I'm thinking, and I said, you know, Mark, you know, on the Match Game, all we're doing is name a red flower, name a president who appears on Money. We should be doing silly stuff. He said, like what? I said, like, Mary liked to pour gravy on John's blank. And so Goodson laughs and he goes, well, what are they going to say? They're going to laugh and then they're going to say meatball, mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
And he said, it's canceled. Do what you want. So I started writing those.
Yeah.
And then a month later he called me and he goes, guess what? The ratings picking up. You're in for another year. And he said, as long as there's a Match Game, you'll have a job. So I got 18 years employment out of writing Match
Game. So even as a teenager, when I was watching Match Game as a teenager, I was old enough to kind of get the double entendre answers that were available.
What do you mean?
Yeah. So and it wasn't that the key that your answer could be dirty or clean.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. And then there was a nighttime version, and to the nighttime version, they said, "Yeah, you can be a little more over the top,
a little racier."
So
huh?
We used to write 20 questions we wanted to get on the air, and then 5 outrageously filthy questions, so the editors could go, "No, no, no! Oh, this one's not bad.
This one's not as bad." Well, folks, we're going to play a little audio Match Game. Audio Match Game. And Chris Tobin is here. Sorry about that, Chris. And do you have your papers?
I don't have my paper.
Oh, okay. Here you go.
So let me grab this.
Here,
we've
got your papers for your answer. And
I got my papers.
We got to find you a pen.
I got a marker.
Oh, you got a marker. Okay. Yeah. So Dick is going to ask some Match Game style questions about audio. And Chris and I are going to answer, and Andrew is too.
Okay.
We're going to try to keep our answers.
You're going to try and match me.
Match you.
You. Yeah.
Okay.
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 Okay. Okay.
Try to match you.
And I'm going to use, I used to write Dumb Donald, and I posted some online. Everybody says, you can't say Dumb Donald on it. Okay. So Dumb Dodo was so dumb.
Mm-hmm.
How dumb was he?
How dumb was he?
Dumb Dodo was so dumb. He thought twert stood for this week in blank blank. Okay, obviously.
Let's see.
In Torch standard for blank blank. It should be an R and a T,
blank,
right?
Blank. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This week in RT. This week in...
Now, I actually think I might have a good one here, but I'm not sure. Dumb Dota was so dumb, he thought Twerk stood for this week in blank blank. Ooh, I like yours. Everybody have something? Oh, excellent.
We got engineering answers here.
No, okay.
All right. We're waiting on Andrew.
I'm ready.
Okay, Chris, you said this week in?
Rapid transit.
Very good.
And
I said this week in radiotonic.
Radiotonic.
I don't know what that is.
That's okay.
Sounds like a good drink.
I said radio turds.
Oh!
Radio turds.
Oh!
Oh, and I did Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, of course, Rotten Tomatoes.
Thinking of the
We're such engineers
the website.
Here on this side of the aisle. We're such
okay. We'll do another one. Dumb Dota was so dumb.
Yep.
How dumb was he? He thought you needed four blanks to listen to quadraphonic sound.
Four blanks. Ah.
Okay. Dumb Dodo was so dumb, he thought you needed four blanks.
I'm ready.
Four blanks. We might have a match here. The answers are narrowed, although Chris seems to disagree.
Chris is writing a journal.
Chris is on Google as we speak.
He's doing a dissertation.
All right.
Okay, we'll start with Andrew. Dumb Dodo was so dumb he thought you needed four blanks.
Four ears.
Well, ding, 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 ding.
Four ears. And Chris?
Four wheels.
Quattro.
Four ears.
Okay.
You want to do one more?
I want to do 10 more. Oh. This is great, but okay.
Okay. This is my last audio question. Dumb Dota was so dumb, he went to blank to buy a tweeter.
He went to blank to buy a tweeter. He went to blank.
Oh, you know, I'm going to open it up a little. He went to blank to get a tweeter.
Okay,
that'll open it a little more.
To get a tweeter.
I had one, but it's a little dirty.
Okay, Dumb Dota was so dumb. How dumb was he? He went to blank to get a tweeter. That's
all right.
Okay, we'll start with Kirk.
Okay.
You said went to?
I went to the zoo.
The zoo. Good
to get a tweeter.
That's good.
Okay.
Chris?
Pet shop.
The pet shop. Okay. He even has a plug in there for Petco.
For those who may not know the term pet shop.
For Twitter.
Oh, he went to Twitter. Oh. I just said he went to the park.
The park.
Okay.
The park. All right.
We'll do one. We'll do one other that is a match game question that I wrote years and years ago. Richie Rich.
How rich was he?
He even had air conditioning in his blank. Richie Rich was so rich. He even had air conditioning in his blank. Mine is, I think, funny, but no one's going to match.
What music did they play during this
part of
the match?
They played thinking music. Originally, it was Swinging Safari.
Oh?
And then instead of paying royalties, Goodson started his own company, his own music company. And they developed their own theme. Everybody have an answer?
Yes.
Okay, Richie Rich was so rich, he even had air conditioning in his?
Trunks.
No.
Oh, in his trunks. Okay, that's
Trunksers.
Rich.
Trunks, boxer trunks. Sorry.
Oh, my gosh. Go ahead.
In his sauna.
I thought no one would match.
I said steam room.
Well, there you go.
We'll match it.
Yeah, steam room, sauna.
You know what? I will do one question. This is my favorite question that I wrote thinking the censors would throw it out, but it got on the air.
Okay.
This will be our last question. Okay. Unlucky Louie was so unlucky.
How unlucky was it?
Unlucky was it?
He went on a diet and he lost 3 inches, but he didn't lose it from his waist. He lost it from his blank. Okay. Unlucky Louis was so unlucky.
So unlucky.
He went on a diet and lost 3 inches, but he lost 3 inches from his blank. We're doing a family-friendly match game.
Unlucky Louis was so unlucky. He went on a diet and lost 3 inches from his...
Okay, well...
Hairline
is a good answer, Kirk. Okay.
That's a good one.
Hairline is a good answer. Okay, Kirk?
My answer was he lost 3 inches from his Kardashian booty.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I said he lost 3 inches from his height.
Height?
Not a good thing.
I said his big left-leaning toe.
Very, very good. Very good.
Do we have a winner?
You know what?
This is just all in fun.
It's all in fun.
It's all in fun.
Well, you matched a couple times. I think.
A couple
I'm
times.
Sure.
Yeah. What I get? Ears, sauna.
Sauna. Yep.
Ears
yep.
And sauna.
Yeah. I guess you win, and you win this beautiful laptop here. All these microphones, the light, and half the eclair.
He's got it in thirds. You need that thing in fourths.
I don't.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
I'm watching my calorie count.
So, Dick, yes. Maybe we could – this has been very enjoyable. Too,
the
gizmos and the game. So tell me, do you have a formula for match game style questions?
You know, not really. The thing with the funny ones is it has to include a person.
Yeah.
You know, so we you know, all totally politically incorrect now. You know, we had Fat Frieder and Dumb Donald and Dumb Dora. It's just to get people to think silly. And we sort of know that if the panel was terrible and no one was guessing anything, you could do John opened the window because he wanted to let in some blank. So you know you probably limited it to air, bird, you know, very few. But then if you want to go crazy, you could say, for good luck, John threw his blank in the river.
Ah,
okay.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
As a matter of fact, I just made that up. But you're probably not going to get a match because it could be anything.
How many gadgets and gizmos do you think you have looked at, reviewed, talked about over the years?
Oh, thousands. Because we do 5 a week. And GizWiz starts its 15th year in February.
But you had a history with gadgets before that, even.
So, one of the people at Goodson Todman, I also did some work on To Tell the Truth. She left and she went over to a local Channel 5, started doing a show, and she said, your office is full of crazy stuff. Would you ever think about showing something on the air? And I said, oh, okay. I went over and I did it. And back then there was no email. She said, people love gadgets. You have more? And that from there I went to Regis and then Good Morning America and on and on. And now this. The culmination of my career.
These days, I swear, if you have the app for Wish.com or Geek.com or Alibaba Express,
yes,
there's a bazillion gadgets offered from Asian manufacturers.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
How did you find gadgets, though, 20 years ago?
It was not easy. You know, you had like Brookstone.
Brookstone, of course.
Yes. When I first started, they would say, well, we need you to leave a credit card imprint so that you could take the gadget to show. Mm-hmm. And then when you bring it back, we'll tear up the credit. It was very hard.
Yeah.
It was very hard. But back then, I would just go through catalogs like radio, you know.
Yep. Radio Shack, Lafayette. There was a lot
yes,
of them.
Yes, exactly.
Rundig, all those.
Exactly. Heath. Remember?
Heath? Yeah. Heath,
yeah.
So in your mind, what differentiates a legit product from a gadget?
To my mind, a gadget is something that's more gimmicky. You know, I always tell people, if you have a gadget that can do two different things, I'm interested in it. And then, you know, sometimes Chad did a week of cheap gadgets to get organized, and he found these little plastic two-level shoe things at Bed Bath and shoe thing. Mm-hmm. So it puts one shoe on top of the other, and it puts them at an angle so you can get tons more shoes in. Actually, that week I bought every single thing that he had come up with because they were all great. The junk drawer, it looks like a silverware drawer, except there's a place for scissors, there's a compartment for scotch tape, there's a thing for rubber bands, a thing for paper clips, and I love it because it gets you organized and it's $12.
You know, without that, I always get the steel wool next to the 9-volt batteries and have a fire. So now technology gap. Of course, this is a technology show.
We talk
about radio tech.
Right.
So you've got to have come across, you know, even more audio gadgets than these over the years. And when we were emailing back and forth, I said, Dick, bring something fun like, I don't know, edible earphones or the Brazier Bluetooth speakers.
Yeah. Well, I ate the edible earphones and I didn't want to wear the head. When I heard that was video, I took the bra off. I'm not going to wear that here. I'll tell you a thing. I only used it in the demo that I find amazing is Bose has these new noise producing buds that listens to the noise in your room and selects a noise, a soothing noise equal to the frequencies of the noise that's annoying you.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
They fit inside your ear. We're talking about how technology has. And I was talking to the CEO of Bose, and he was saying, Dick, this was the smallest thing we ever made because there has to be a battery in there.
Yeah.
There has to be a memory chip because we can send new tracks to these little earbuds to hide noise. And they're like the size of a pea. And I'm thinking, this is like an incredible thing. And then when you drop it, I think it runs 8 hours on the battery, and you drop it back in the case, it charges. So I'm thinking, how does someone even come up with, how do you build, you know, my smallest tweezers is bigger than that thing. So technology is knockout.
Did you ever go to the CES show? In
Las Vegas? Gosh. Yes, yeah. But I troll the lower floor.
Yeah.
And I go over to the stands
where
all the mom and pop and the startups are. And there you find the weirdest thing there ever was. Did you ever see the camera? It's 36 cameras on a ball.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You throw the ball in the air.
Oh, yes.
And at its highest point, all 36 cameras off. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I saw them a couple of years later, and I said, how's that doing? And he said, well, I said, is it still $600? And he goes, no, it's $3,000. I said, what? He said, yeah, we found out we couldn't make any money. And also, he said, we found out that if it does hit the ground, it's not shatterproof.
Oh!
you mentioned something really interesting, that what defines a gadget. And you said if it does two things.
Yeah, or something, yeah. Something that there are not 90 others of.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like a Bluetooth. If a PR agent calls and says, I have a Bluetooth speaker, I go, look, if it also makes toast.
I'm in.
Exactly.
I'm in.
Exactly.
That's it.
Exactly. Yeah. Speaking of toast, you know, I would love a toaster that would. We just bought a brand new toaster at our house.
Okay.
Chuck the old one. Got the old one was dirty or something. My wife ordered it.
Okay.
And it's 2018 and we still have to jockey with, is it 2.75 on the dial or 3.0? And depending on what kind of bread you put in, it's either untoasted or over toasted.
Yeah.
Can't we solve this problem?
Yes. We need a toaster with a video camera in it.
Exactly. Looking at the toaster.
Yeah. A video toaster.
And then you get.
Wait a minute.
It's software.
Yeah, someone's done that. And then you get a perfect piece of toast and you say to the, this is what I want every morning, and my name is, and you put your name in.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants their, right.
Well,
and then you'll have.
If you had an app, if the toaster had Bluetooth and you had an app, you selected, you know, the color of finished toast.
Okay.
Well, and have it match that color.
You know, the Geno oven, do you know about that?
No, what's that?
Did you know Leo's going to be very depressed when he hears they came out with a $600 version? That's, he paid $1,500 for his. It does have a video camera in it.
Oh, the
Juno oven.
Yeah.
The Juno oven.
Okay. And it's actually pretty cool looking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you can watch your food being cooked and go, oh, that's good. Okay, stop cooking. And then it remembers. And also when you put it in, it says, is this filet of sole? And you click yes or no. And it builds a library of what you cook. But it's $1,500.
Now, here's the gadget that a lot of my friends need. My wife would like this.
Okay.
I recently saw a post on Facebook. Sorry, I can't go out tonight. I have an avocado that's going to be ripe somewhere between 7:15 and 7:30. What is it with avocados and their short span of ripeness?
I have no solution for that.
No?
Except take it with you. An avocado lunchbox.
So if it does two things, like we were joking about, edible headphones. So you got to have something that serves two purposes.
Yes,
that you might need.
You know what? I never heard them, but it sounded like a good idea. Headphones that when you want to bring them to the table, they turn around and you become speakers, actual speakers.
Oh, I've seen those. Yes.
Well,
we
should talk to your buddy, Bob Heil.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Microphone brassiere.
Yeah.
It's two mics, stereo audio.
Yeah.
Right,
yep. Yep.
And you talk right into them.
No.
Exactly. There could be an echo.
That's the problem.
That's a problem.
Oh, and with that, we should take a quick break. Do you have to leave soon?
Let's see.
It's about.
I should.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dick DiBartolo, the Gizwiz.
Yay! Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh!
And we can catch your recent efforts where?
Gizwiz.tv, GIZWIZ.tv.
Okay.
There are hundreds of episodes there, and a lot of them have weird gadgets.
Real quick, before the show, you were saying you used to do some gadget show in Nashville where I live.
Yes, it was called American Magazine, and I would go down 3 times a year. And do 13 hours in 2 days.
Wow.
A gadget for 10 minutes on every show. And then we could sneak into Opryland because it was next door.
Yeah.
And then the network, you said it became several other things.
Yeah, the Nashville network was around in the 80s and I guess early 90s. And they sold out, became Spike TV and some other things.
Oh, okay.
So it really doesn't exist anymore.
And Opryland's gone too, right?
No. It's a theme park is
theme
gone.
Park.
Yeah. Now it's a mall,
right? Oh, okay.
A nice mall, but it's a mall. But the Grand Ole Opry
is
still there.
That hotel is amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's bigger than ever. It just keeps expanding. Dick DiBartolo, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's
great. Appreciate
thank
it
you,
so much.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And coming up in the second half of our show, we're going to review some of the cool things that we've seen at the AES and the NAB show. You hang on. We'll be right back with more This Week in Radio Tech.
There has probably never been a better time in history to buy a new radio mixing console. Today's consoles are more sophisticated than ever, with more features and functions than you can shake a stick at. But have you noticed how complicated they are? There's a sea of knobs and switches and displays and buttons. Some of them look like you might need a pilot's license to do your show. Well, a board doesn't have to be complicated to be powerful. Just look at the new Ruby mixing surface from Lavvo. The first thing you notice is how smooth and streamlined it is. Ruby has lots of cool tech, but what it doesn't have is that confusing ocean of buttons that clutter things up. Now, we all know that there are some console features the jock only uses once in a while, so why dedicate controls to them? Ruby fixes this problem by moving those once-in-a-blue-moon controls to a touch-sensitive, customizable GUI that happily shares screen space with your other studio software, helping you fight control room clutter. Thanks to this design innovation, talent that use Ruby produce smoother shows with less errors. Controls that are used the most fall naturally to hand, while functions that rarely need adjustment are easily controlled with just a couple of clicks in the context-sensitive GUI. And Ruby has cool features you won't find on other boards, like Auto Mix, an intelligent gain writing function that guarantees the perfect mix for multi-mic morning shows and call-in segments. Dual mode snapshots that instantly switch the motorized faders between on-air and production modes. And enough DSP and I/O options to make even your pro sound pals green with envy. And because quality is as important to Lavo as it is to you, every console is proudly built to fanatically precise standards at Lavo's own factory in Germany. If you're ready to declutter your control room, do yourself a favor. Check out the new Ruby and the other cool Lavo radio tech at www.lawo.com/twert.
And thanks a lot to Lavo for sponsoring This Week in Radio Tech. You want to check out Lavo's radio offerings? Easy to do. Lavo.com. That's LAWO.com/TWIRT. If you go there, it'll take you right to the radio offerings. You'll skip all the, you know, the opera house consoles and things like that and take you right to radio stuff. Plus, they'll know that we sent you from This Week in Radio Tech. Hey, everybody, I'm Kirk Harnack along with Chris Tobin. He's right here. Let's see, on the right side of your radio dial, my left, your right. And Andrew Zarian is here, too, founder of the GFQ Network.
I'm not Dick DiBartolo.
No, you're not. No. You're not. No. Dick DiBartolo was with us for the first half of the show, and we played a lot of fun games and heard about some gadgets and stuff. Now, you'd think there'd be more. Well, he deals in all kinds of gadgets. I like audio gadgets, you know, combination Bluetooth speaker and blender.
Yeah. Well, you could get it now. Does a Sharper Image still exist?
Yeah.
I'm sure you could have gotten it at the Sharper Image at one point.
Probably so.
The blender microphone, just stick your head deep into it and talk and blend away. Four easy payments of $29.99.
Exactly. You can monitor monitor your margarita while you record your podcast.
It's right up there with the Popeil fisherman.
Samson's coming up. Oh, with yeah. It.
Well, the pocket fisherman.
The pocket fisherman.
What was the microphone called? Mr. Microphone.
Mr. Microphone, yes.
Mr. Microphone. Hey, babe, come back to pick you up at 8. Yeah. So on a more serious note, we're here for something serious, and that is the Audio Engineering Society and the National Association of Broadcasters. They've held a joint convention because a lot of intersectionality there. Chris and I attended a lot of that. You were over there.
I was there yesterday. Yeah. I did about like 6-7 miles of walking around NAB and AES. So it was, a leg day for me.
You know, whenever I come to New York and go to a convention, my watch is very happy with my walking.
Yeah. I gorged a little bit during dinner because I'm looking at my watch. Like this is going to tell me. I was looking at my phone and it told me how many calories I burned. I'm like, well, I could have like an extra beer and a sandwich and a burger and wings. But it was actually a lot of fun. I haven't been to NAB in about 2 years, and it's amazing how the New York one is growing again.
Yes.
It's gotten, I mean, a lot of the vendors that you see out in Vegas have come over to the New York one, which is great.
Well, and in fact, Chris will have something to add to this. So for the past 3, 4, maybe 5 years, I've been asked to either be a panelist or be a moderator on some panel at the AES in the broadcast audio track, right? So there's gaming audio, there's film audio, there's surround soundtracks. There's all these different kinds of tracks of you know, professionalism in the audio world, and broadcast has not always been the most popular. You know, we come out of in past years, we'd get done with a session, there might have been 20 or 30 people in there, or maybe 15 people. We walk out, and there's a million 27-year-olds walking out of, you know, some gaming audio track. I'm thinking, wow, man, that's I'm glad people are finding fun things to do with audio, but apparently it's not in broadcasting. Today was different. Chris, what were you – Chris and I did a session today on implementing or being successful with implementing audio over IP. And they put us in a room that, oh, my God, it's got like 200 seats in this room. How, you know, this is going to look bad. And yet almost half the seats were filled.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was about a seating capacity for 100, 120. And
there were 75 people in the
75,
room.
So yeah. Mind you, the session was at 9 a.m. So
wow. Imagine if it was a little later.
Yeah, if we had the 10:30 time
standing
slot.
Room only available.
That would be fun.
Tell me about the session this morning and kind of what we talked about and got accomplished there.
Well, we talked about many things, and one of the things is audio over IP. And many of us in the audience know that AES-67 is the interoperability standard that everybody's trying to make work. everyone's got their own way of looking at it. I know yesterday I was having a conversation with someone that says, AES67 is great, but I would like to know that I can have discovery, so if I plug a device in, I can do this, but everything else is okay. I was like, well, if that's the only issue, you're pretty close. Maybe it's time to rethink how you do your network, how you do your management of the devices. Maybe it's a different approach. You know, the reason discovery is a problem, or I shouldn't say a problem, is difficult because every manufacturer has their reason for putting out an announcement as to who they are, the device. And that's, you know, pretty much for business reasons. Otherwise, everything else in the packet stream, if you will, you can connect. You can do everything you want. And I can say that because I was in a workshop in Canada last month. It was for ES67, Ravenna, Livewire, Wheatnet. And did we have anybody else? No, that was it. I think those were the only ones. And we were able to connect devices across four different tables in a large banquet room. So if you could picture four round tables with about 9 or 10 broadcast engineers at each one, interconnected by fiber. So all the switches were connected on fiber. And then we were instructed to connect to tables 2, mic preamp or audio codec or mixer from table 3. And then table 4 did the same to table 2. And then it became an issue where at one point several people started realizing, oh, wait a minute, I can access your switch. And people started hijacking switches.
Oh, wow.
To demonstrate how easy it is if you don't pay attention to properly understand the IT, IP protocols, both in a managed switch and your devices, why you name it, why you shouldn't just leave it defaulted. And it was fun. But it proved the point that you can do stuff. But as long as you understand what it is you're doing, do not assume that you can plug and play any device in the IP world. And that's part of the presentation today was, you know, everyone on the panel was saying, hey, understand networking. You know, as Greg Shea pointed out, do you know the difference between managed and unmanaged switches? Do you understand what, you know, a spoofing or, you know, broadcast storms are, or flooding a packet stream, all these things, you know. And then Gary Klein talked about the business side of it and understanding how it works. Where do you stand? Do you know the people you're working with, the vendors? Do you have somebody on staff that understands what you're trying to implement? You know, and these are the things you have to go with.
You know, for those of you thinking about your career moving ahead, maybe you're mid-career, maybe you're just starting, maybe you're near the end of your career. What Gary had to say, and you bolstered this a bit as well, is If you're an IT person who also understands how to do quality audio, mm-hmm. you understand something about microphones and wiring care of low-level signals, for example.
Right.
Using the right cable, using the right techniques, using the right connectors, and then techniques for even using these products. You know, where do you put the speakers? Where do you put the microphones? How do you deal in the field with these things on a live broadcast deployment? If you understand that and you get the IT part of it, or at least enough to really talk to your IT people about it, you've got a real advantage from an employment point
of
view.
Yes, well, that was one of the things I opened up my part of the presentation with, was telling everyone, basically everyone in this room is a financial liability to your employer or your self-employment business. I mean, it's a true statement. You, unless you're generating the revenue, you're technically a liability in the world of finance. There's nothing wrong with that. You need to turn it around. And, you know, many conversations I've had with folks, you know, they talk about how the people they work with just don't get it, they don't understand it. Then I always ask the question, well, when you built that studio, did you ask any of the users of that studio what they thought was the best approach or what was wrong with the old facility?
Oh.
Yeah. 9 out of 10 times, the answer is
no.
No. And I said, well, there's your problem. That's why you are the department of no. When people talk about engineering, program director says, yeah, we've got to talk to engineering. And the marketing director says, yeah, I'm not going to bother. Why? They always say no. There's truth to that. I've worked at places where I was in a meeting once, and the program director, marketing director, and sales manager were talking about all this thing for an event we're going to do. And they're all going, yeah, we can do this and this. And the marketing guy goes, no, that's not going to happen. And they all said, why? Engineering won't be even able to do it. You know, meanwhile, I was in the room. I'm like, hello, I'm in the room. And they go, yeah, we know you are, and we know your answer. I'm like, do you now? Have we ever met before? No. Then you don't know my answer. So let's revisit this. And that's how, in that particular case, I wound up being the go-to person. The department of 20 people, I was the one that you would go to. I was the lowest on the totem pole. The department head was bypassed by the other department heads to come to me about asking questions.
Wow.
Needless to say, that didn't go well for my future there. But the point being, understand the business model. You know, if you're going to be the department of no, then you're probably going to have a limited job, or you're not going to be doing much. You'll be sitting at a desk and complaining the place stinks. You know, my job sucks. Reality is it doesn't. You need to be a financial asset turn it around, and understand all that. So then all the others on the panel mentioned, know all the other inner workings. You know, this device here can do a lot of things for you, right? You can do a broadcast like we are right now. We have another one of these sitting on the table, and it's getting connectivity to the internet. However, you have to understand how and why and what you're doing. That's very important. Matter of fact, you know what, Suncast, if you have that picture I sent you, why don't you put that up real quick to demonstrate the thinking process behind what we're doing here. See if that works out, just for fun.
You might have lost it because we had a crash happen.
Oh, I sent an email. Oh, okay, you have to reload it. All right, well, in any case, we're here tonight, and we're on location in New York City at Rattle and Hum, the pub. Mm-hmm. And in front of us is a Microsoft Surface. With beneath it is a Axia node, right? Uh-huh. Is that right? Yeah, node.
Yep, yep.
And we're actually using the node's inner workings, which happen to have a mixer capability. So I'm actually, my microphone, Kirk's, Andrew's, headphones, everything is going into one little box about the size of this book, roughly, and mixed together using the screen on the Surface. Boom, done. We are doing a broadcast. Think of this in terms of your radio station right now. You could be on location anywhere with a smartphone connection, a node, and a Surface or any other computer device doing a broadcast.
You know, I've always wanted to hook this up. Usually when we're on remote, we use a Behringer mixer. It's about a $175 mixer, and it works fine. It's got a USB connection, hook it to the laptop, and great. But I wanted to try this technology that the Telos Alliance has put together, where we have one of our X nodes. Normally, this is just an input-output device between analog or AES audio or mic audio and IP, right? Audio over IP. And there's a lot of these out there in the world. But the Telos Alliance added the ability to do some mixing inside the X node. Now, controlling that mixing, though, is a different kettle of fish. Telos has with the Pathfinder software. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure you can do it with Pathfinder yet. But we have an affiliate in France who's written a program called IP Tablet. And IP Tablet lets you build a mixing GUI. I wish we could show it to you now, but I can't switch the thing around. But on the same Microsoft Surface tablet, laptop that we're doing this show on right now, is also running the faders and mixing controls.
That's correct.
To let us mix these mics together and send that into the program we use to feed to our network. And we can, from the network, we can hear the audio coming back from the network. So when our producer talks to us, we hear it right here. It's mixed in, but you don't hear it at home. And that it's amazing what this can do. Right. Now, since all three of us here at the table are deaf, we do have to crank it up through this headphone amplifier, right? So that's going into our headphones, but that's all coming from this X node. So the size of our mixer I'm using the same laptop. It's not Skype, but it's like Skype, and to control the mix of these headphones and mics, it's just amazing what we can do with this audio over IP stuff nowadays.
Well, the point I was trying to make today was with this, and you know, to your point about the IP tablet and being able to do all this, you know, the technology is unbelievable. The reality is, if you're running a radio station, it's a business. At the end of the day, it's about making money. Let's be honest, and let's call an ant an ant. It's money at the end of the day, but no reason why you can't have fun doing it. There's no reason why you can't, find a good way to do it. This setup here, and from my experience working at many stations, both on the network level and local, I could actually train somebody on staff to go out to an event, plug everything in. It's all pre-programmed, and they can call up the familiar slide fader image on the adapter, the desktop or the tablet, whatever you choose. That has value, and that is what we're talking about when it's like looking at the technology and how do I, say, use it outside the studio? Where do I go beyond, you know, beyond the limits, if you will? If you're a Axia plant, live wire plant, this is a no-brainer. Now you've got a product or a technology that's already in your plant. Your staff already knows how it works. They're familiar with it. They know what to look at. Oh, that's right. All of these connections and our headsets and our microphones, everything terminate in an XLR quarter inch to a RJ45 connector. Boop, plug it in. You can set this up in 10 minutes and be up and running and on the air. How much value does that have for a broadcast? You're doing sports bars. You're doing news coverage, whatever it is. Maybe you have a regular talk show that you'd like to have at a restaurant in town or a business place that they'd love to do it, but can't get the setup because every time they take out the mixer, the guy turns the wrong knob. I've one going on. I've got feedback. It's ridiculous. Guess what? You can do all no problem with this hit setup. It's straightforward.
So, you know what? In the show notes, I need to put a picture of what we're doing here so people can see. So I'm going to take a picture of what we're doing right here. I mean, we took over this bar. Andrew knows this bar, right?
I do. Yeah. Very well.
Let's be clear. He knows the owners of the bar. The bar.
He doesn't know every square inch of the bar. You know?
Well, we don't want to make it sound.
It depends on the day.
So we're in we set up, and folks, I got to tell you, last year we were here and we had the doors open behind us, the windows, and the light came in and it made the podcast work with the light and the camera. But today it's windy out there. So I ran across the street to Staples, bought a light, and we have a light right there that is illuminated. And it doesn't look bad.
No, it looks great.
I'm pretty amazed. So my point from part of what you took away, one of my takeaways is that you can do a broadcast remote from almost anywhere. This is our link to the rest of the world right here. I'm getting 40 megs down and 20 or 30 megs up. So it's not 100% reliable, but it's pretty amazing.
Right. But the point, you know, that part is just one part of the equation.
Right. Right.
If you've taken care of intent contribution part, which is the microphones, headphones, and the mixing unit, the next part is transmission. Okay. So what do I do for a transmission? Well, if you're going to a regular place you do business with, you talk to the owners and say, we want access to your cable modem or whatever method they have for broadband. Now you've made a robust connection. So, boom, you're done. Again, this setup is a 10 minutes. You can go anywhere. We could be done here, wrap up in 10 minutes, and go to another location. So if this is a local radio station broadcast, we could do 3 events in one night.
Yeah.
And the staff you have doing it can be your part-time marketers or engineering staff. That's the key. It's the simplicity of it, but the return on investment is huge.
So before we have to go, I want to ask Andrew.
Yes.
You hung around the AES and NAB a little bit.
I did. Yeah. I did.
I want to know what you found there. I was in the Telos booth for a while and doing some sessions.
So I actually walked around with Chris, and I think it's amazing that NAB has turned into a video event.
Yes.
More than an audio event. I mean, almost every booth that I was walking by, especially on the NAB side, was video related. Our friends from VMix were there.
Oh, okay. Yes.
And
it's
amazing. I mean, they were stealing the show.
Yeah.
They had competitors there with giant booths and huge setups and all this amazing stuff. And they were really stealing the show with their simple setup. And people were blown away by the fact that they're doing NDI video. They're doing VMix Call, which we're using right now, which is a WebRTC base. That uses very low resources. And I was talking to the founders of the company, Tim, over there, and it's amazing how a mom-and-pop shop could disrupt the video production platform.
Well, you know, there were two guys in the garage that did the same thing, Hewlett and Packard.
Yeah, yes.
But see, what they did, and VMix, when I introduced you to that, how many years ago we talked about it?
About 10 years ago, and I said, they're behind the times. They don't know what they're doing.
And I remember talking with them at a Simpty show in the booth in the Javits, and I said, okay, your product, for some reason, which is great, uses less CPU resources than the others that I've been using. Is this intentional? Is this just a byproduct, or you just have a different approach? It was pretty much a different approach.
You have a very different approach.
Since then, years later,
they're actually coding.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I got all the details. I'm not going to give it out because that's their thing. But the one thing I have to say is every time I've recommended VMix to anyone, and they give me this whole song and a dance about the others that are on the market that have a more larger reputation, if you will, they're better branding, marketing. They come back and go, we had no idea we could actually use it on a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I was like, yeah, I tried to tell you that. It's like, as long as a laptop can support what you're doing. Let's be honest. Don't try to do a multi-screen, multi-view, 6 different graphics and overlays on a laptop that's like an i3. You want to be an i7.
Right.
But
the
fact that you can just dictate the hardware and the software follows is key.
Well, something that I discovered recently and I started playing around with a little bit more was their audio features within VMix, where you could do gating, you could do EQ, you could do
a
lot of stuff with the audio. Oh, yeah. Essentially, any kind of audio processing you want to do. But the gating, I was blown away on how well it works for digital gating. And I've never really been a fan of digital gating. I've always, for my mics, I've used a DBX or something like that.
Yeah.
But this works, if not better, than any hardware gate that I've ever had.
Yeah, and my theory behind that is that for some years, software guys who designed certain audio things, audio compressors and gating and EQ, they were doing it by the math, but they didn't have the experience of the analog guys who have done this for years and were listening to it really carefully. And I think that the software, well, a lot of the analog guys may have turned to software and say, hey, I want to do in software, in digital, what the good work that I've done in analog.
Yeah.
And make it more ear friendly, brain friendly, make it more natural. Guys, we got to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with our some final thoughts. It's Kirk Harnack, Chris Tobin, Andrew Zarian. Dick DiBartolo was with us earlier. We're broadcasting live, and I should say, from Rattle and Hum East on, where are we, 33rd?
33rd and 5th, between 5th and 6th.
Yeah, 33rd between 5th and 6th. Come on down. It's a great place to – you can get food here. You can have some drink. It's just it's a wonderful place. We thank them very dearly for letting us take over a corner of the restaurant and do our show from here. We'll be right back after this from Vox Pro.
Scott Feibusch here at Wheatstone at NAB, and one of the attractions of the booth is one of the masters of the Vox Pro Cadence here. We got the Vox Pro 7.
New Vox Pro 7.
What is new? What's exciting?
So many new features. We got a built-in, like, a mini processor. You can adjust EQs, de-essing, almost like a mini production studio. You know, you want to jack up the levels if you got of a low caller. Also, we got the Gap Buster, where instead of sitting here on the Vox Pro, if you're an advanced a Vox Pro person, instead of sitting there and editing out all the silence and stuff, basically hit two buttons, and all of that is done for you. It's all about the shortcuts this year. Also, they built FX Macros, which is basically a shortcut button that you establish at the top of your file. And instead of sitting there for 2.5 minutes during a song editing, you know, all the ins and outs of the phone call, you can hit two or three buttons and in real time doing it in about 20% of the time.
So this is what we're going to see you demonstrating here.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, last year we went into the hotkey portion, and we can get a little bit more advanced and stuff like that. But there's just so much more stuff that is coming out with the Vox Pro 7 here at NAB 2017.
I'm going to stand back and watch you do your magic.
All right.
So where do you get Vox Pro? Well, you call my friends over at Broadcasters General Store. You talk to Jessica Shute, or you talk to Chris Shute, or you talk to Buck Waters, or any of the people that answer the phone there. Broadcasters General Store is such a friendly place to do business, and they've really got their business act together. I've been doing business with Broadcasters General Store since, I think, 1983 or 4, and it's just amazing what the family operation has done to continually improve their service to you and their ability to deliver quickly broadcast products to you. Go to the website at bgs.cc or give them a call at 352-622-7700. I've got Broadcasters General Store on speed dial on my phone because when I need something quickly, I call Broadcasters General Store, bgs.cc or 352-622-7700. You won't find anybody more friendly and more capable than my friends at Broadcaster General Store. And the Vox Pro, if you want to record stuff, edit it quickly, and get it ready for air just like that, Vox Pro is the thing to use. Thanks a lot, BGS and Vox Pro, for sponsoring this week in Radio Tech. Guys, we've got just a few minutes. Was there any highlight at AES or NAB that you wanted to
mention? Chris Tobin.
Well, okay.
Yeah. That was my highlight. Running into him there.
That's worth the train ride in from Queens there.
Yeah. That was the whole trip. I mean, it was great seeing him. He has beautiful hair and he's dressed to the nines as usual, and it made my day.
You know, on every show at the end, I thank Suncast for producing the show. We throw him curveballs and he just goes right with it.
Goes right in.
But I also thank you for being the founder of the network.
I appreciate it.
Because,
thank you.
Man, without you here, I don't know where
we'd
be. Listen,
if it wasn't for you, I'd have nothing to put on between five
and six. That's not true. You got 8 other podcasts. In fact, tell us for just a second. You've got a couple other podcasts. If you're interested in our technical podcast, Andrew's got a couple other shows that might interest you.
So I do What the Tech with Paul Theriault. It's a weekly tech podcast where Paul and I, for an hour and a half, discuss all the top tech stories, and we complain about technology.
Yeah, it's a complaining show. It's hilarious. Show,
which I think we all, you know, we could all use a little release when it comes to that. And I also do a very popular professional wrestling show called Mat Men, which is a surreal thing to talk about on a regular basis, but it's one of my top shows, and I absolutely love talking about it. I'm big into Southern wrestling, Turk.
Really?
What's that? Like them. I love the Memphis style of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Bill Dundee, Jerry the King Lawler,
Jerry
things
Lawler.
Like that.
Yeah.
So I'm more of a wrestling historian, and I love talking about it every single week. So we have a product for everybody, something for everybody. That's how I look at it at GFQ.
Yeah, good deal. Yeah. Thank you very much. Check it out, GFQnetwork.com. Chris, you got a final closing thought for us about things you've seen here?
Yes, Roland had some great video products.
Roland had some great stuff, which
they
we
have
saw.
This little mixer switcher panel. They have three versions. One that's a HDMI only, input and output. The other one is HDMI SDI. And the third one is a switcher and a matrix controller. So you can do four in, four out, or just a plain switcher. No effects, nothing like that. But think about it. I was actually talking to a person today who was shopping for a video product to be able to do three cameras on location at various client businesses for advertising. And he talked to me. He said, "Ah, you know, I got this guy. He told me he recommended this, this, and this, and it's going to cost me like $8,000." I'm like, "What?" I said, "Tell you what, come with me." So he already has the cameras. He has everything but the ability to mix them or switch them together. So I showed him. I said, "Look, you want to do three cameras? Watch this. Hit the button. That's your camera. That's your presenter. He's talking, whatever. Preview. Okay, let's get the camera on the baker. Let's say it's a bakery. Got the camera on the baker." I said, "Here we go. Crossfade. Boom. Now you got the bakery." And then I said, "Let's preview number three. That's going to be the kitchen. And there's the cake that they're making. Fade back." He looked at me. He's like, I said, "Is that what you're trying to accomplish?" "Yes. How do I buy it?" So the person in the booth from Roland goes, "I can't sell it to you. You have to go through one of our dealers." And immediately he goes, "I know exactly who to call." Picks up his phone. He dials it in. "Bob? Yes. Do you carry Roland?" "You do." "Good. Here's the model number. I need two." "What?" I kid you not. It was like, that's it. That's
I hope you got a cut.
I hope you got a cut.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. Anyway, so the workflow I talked about today in the paper, right? Uh-huh. This is what he didn't care about the technology. I don't care what the, that's great, but I need to do this. Three things. Camera, control, switch it, make money. I said, "Yeah, here you go." I said, "Your investment in this will be paid back in two broadcasts." He goes, "Hell, one broadcast." I'm like, "Even better."
"You don't know what I charge."
That's fine. But now he's, and the next step is, how do I do it over a cellular network? I said, "Well, that's a different company. Let's go to this other booth." But that's what you did. And today, that was one of the big ones. And there was two others. JVC has a complete wireless camera system that if you really look at it properly, in a radio station, you could afford it. You can make it work. They have three different levels, three different ways to do it. That was another product that was really cool with their video camera wireless.
Yeah.
And you create a whole little hotspot, and you can control the video quality right on the spot. You're not relying on the phone company. You know, your cellular company.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. That's two things. There's many others, but we don't have time for that.
All right. Well, we'll try to put those in the show notes if we get some links. We got to go. I want to thank our producer, Suncast, for rolling with the flip punches here and getting us on the air. Thank you very much, Suncast. Thanks to Andrew for being the founder of the network that we're on. And thanks to you for your feedback and telling your friends about This Week in Radio Tech. We get, Chris and I get great comments. It keeps us motivated. Ego boost, and it's just nice to hear that you appreciate the show. We try to put out some stuff that's helpful, that's funny, that's useful, and obviously we love our professions. We love what we do. Mm-hmm. We love trying to do it better and share that stuff with you. So we got to go. Hey, check out our sponsors if you would. That they help make the show go. They really do. And again, we're at Rattle and Hum East on 33rd. Between 5th and 6th. So if you're in the New York area, come by and patronize them and, you know, give them a shout out and tell them you heard it here. Appreciate them. We got a whole corner of the restaurant here.
They're going to kick us out soon, too.
You think
we're
so?
We're going to get pushed out the window.
Has everybody been on my tab or just us?
I think the whole bar the whole at this bar. Point.
Well, Emily's been very nice. So I don't know.
So we'll see you next week right here. Chris and I are going to head over to Brooklyn to a radio show.
Yes,
it's an internet radio station called KPIS. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure what to think.
It's Splatoon Radio, but it's good.
Right. We'll see you next week on This Week in Radio Tech. Bye-bye, everybody.